anger at the zealots of the Order of the Spiral Prophecy and their callous leaders, and at the hegemony and an earth that would not protect an innocent and defenceless human colony. Anger at the Warpwell, the Zeradin, which he thought would help in the struggle, and the forerunners who made them. And anger at Sigrana. He swore and cursed the forest, ripped down curtains of creeper, broke off branches and tore up bushes and saplings by the roots. By now, the fragments of Cassiona's voice had melted away into the everlasting twilight, as if that was all there had ever been. Just wisps and shadows. Weary from hours of pursuit, confusion and anger, he staggered on through the dripping dark. Occasionally he passed a mass of stone with outlines too regular to be a natural feature, but the old burning curiosity had waned to a mere flicker, and he kept on going. Exhaustion finally overtook him as he was struggling up a bushy slope alongside a huge fallen tree. A wave of dizziness struck, and he sank down, scraping against the trunk. He rested there for a short while, then realised that he would have to find somewhere to sleep up off the sodden ground, and hauled himself back upright. Further upslope, he clambered onto what seemed to be another fallen trunk, but as he walked along it, he realised that it was a branch of a much larger tree. A towering shape emerged from the half-light as he mounted the sloping branch, which had cracked away from the main trunk but remained attached by a section of bark and underlying wood. At the main trunk, he found some old steps hacked into the bark and followed them up to a stump-supported platform. There he made camp, wrapped himself in a blanket, and drifted off into a dream where ships fell out of the skies over Nifiesta, crashing down onto the forest of Sigrana. Greg woke to still grey mists. It was the fifth day since losing Cassiona. His face felt cold and clammy, but he didn't have the shivery weakness of a fever. By his watch, it was 9:48 a.m. Darien time, while on Nifiesta it also seemed brighter. Getting to his feet, he yawned and stretched, wincing at his growing collection of aches, then tried to recall just what had happened last night.
"Perhaps I did lose my mind," he thought.
"Aye, a fitting nadir to my career as a freedom fighter."
But was Cassiona really dead? That was the question that bedeviled his every waking moment. The Zeradin's main mode of attack appeared to be a kind of controlled disintegration, as Greg discovered in the 2 days following its transformation of Cassiona. Desperate to get away, he had searched out several downed spiral craft, even the couple that had been captured, but found that every one had been reduced to heaps of parts and components. Even hazardous materials like fuel cores and coolants had been rendered inert. It looked like he wouldn't be leaving Nifiesta any time soon.
"But there's still the other scientists," he thought. "Folk that Kat was working with. They had some communication equipment before they went into hiding. Maybe they've still got it. And maybe it's still working."
It might be a forlorn hope, but at least it was a motivating one. With his fine Uvovo blanket once more stored away, he pulled the pack straps over his shoulders and paused to consider his route back to the heights. The rain had stopped, and although ragged curtains of mossy creeper obscured the view in most directions, he could just see a rope bridge curving up from some way along a higher branch. A sequence of hand and footholds in the gnarled bark of the immense tree led him up there, where he found that the branch's upper surface had been inlaid with a line of flat stones. Moments later, he reached the bridge and started across, using the damp, braided rope rail for support.